Well, good morning, church. What a full house. It's a beautiful day to be here today. Why don't we stand to our feet today? Just in case you didn't get the memo, today is a celebration service. We have a few things we really want to highlight as a church family. We're excited to do that today. And just before we do that, though, we want to lift our voices and just celebrate who Jesus is and what he's done for us. So come on, lift up your voices. Invite you to clap, raise your hands, whatever you feel comfortable doing as we praise today.
Let's sing. We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. Yeah.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out.
The high And God, we celebrate your name today. And we lift up all of our songs and all of our thoughts and our things that we're thankful for to you today, to God. We celebrate who you are. God, you are faithful. You meet us where we're at. You draw us in. You're ever present. And God, we just have so much to be thankful for today. So as we keep our eyes fixed on you, God, would you be glorified? And would you be exalted in this place? Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your presence. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, welcome to our celebration service. Before you sit down, why don't you take a minute to turn around and introduce yourself to somebody? Because I'm guessing there's somebody that you don't know and they don't know you. It is so great to be together worshiping, and so feel free to grab a seat, and we want to welcome each one who's joined us online today as well. Maybe you heard some of the noise that was just happening as people were kind of introducing themselves and chatting, and so that's simply saying that this place is packed, and it's so great to be able to see everyone, and so great to have those of you who've joined us online today as well as we worship the Lord. And kids, welcome to our service. It's so awesome to see you guys. You're traipsing in there. Yeah, like it's great. We're here in the yelling. We're here in the all that kind of stuff going on, which kids haven't. So great that you can be with us today. And today, of course, is our first Sunday for the summer where we're going to be meeting at 10 o'clock. Unless, of course, we don't have room, and then we'll go back to two services, which is fine as well. And so today is a day of great rejoicing and celebration. I want to invite our ushers forward. And as part of our worship, as part of our celebration, we continually give back to the Lord out of the abundant resources that he's given to us. And I simply say thanks to our church family for your generosity and your ongoing giving in so many ways. While we're receiving our offering, while we're worshiping through the giving of our tithes and our offerings, I want to kind of outline a little bit of what we're about today on this celebration Sunday. Now, it's not that other Sundays aren't celebrative. Of course, they are. We always want to be celebrating the God whom has saved us, and so we're grateful for that. But in fact, throughout history, celebration was actually a requirement for the people of God. I don't know if you knew that, but it was a requirement for the people of God. If you read through the Old Testament, and as you study the Old Testament as one example, there were numerous feasts and festivals that the people of God were called to do. And one of those festivals was called the Festival of Booths. Who's ever heard of the Festival of Booths as you've read through the Old Testament? And sometimes, or the Tabernacles, Festival of Tabernacles. And sometimes you kind of wonder, like, what are all these festivals about? Well, the Festival of Booths, or the Festival of Tabernacles, was all about the people of God gathering together in the city of Jerusalem, which is where the temple was. And they would gather together for not 1 hour, not 1 day, but for an entire week. And they would come together and they would celebrate a couple of key things. It was at the harvest season, and so they would celebrate God's provision for their lives for the harvest. They would give many, many sacrifices and offerings to the Lord, thanking him for his provision in their life, and they would eat great food, celebrating what God had done among them and their gratitude to him. So what a great party when you think about that. Like a week-long party with people that you love, great food to eat, and giving thanks and worship to the God who has sustained and provided for you. What a great party and what a great witness for those who are watching the people of God celebrate and give thanks and party together as they place their trust in God Almighty. Well, as the story unfolds and we move to the New Testament, God sent his son, Jesus, into our world, and Jesus dwelt among us. He actually tabernacled among us. So, reminding us that we don't actually have to live in tents anymore, but that we could actually find our provision, our living water, our hope in Jesus himself. And so now we come together and we worship Jesus, who gives us true life, and we give thanks to him for everything that he's done. So that's what we want to do today and throughout this morning. So let me tell you how this kind of morning is going to unfold and how we're going to celebrate God's faithfulness in our own festival of booths, in our own festival of tabernacles. So a couple of things. First, we're gonna hear how God is working through our church family and raising up workers to serve immigrants who are coming to Prince George. And so just as the people of God were once kind of exiled and then rescued from the nations around them, we're going to hear about how God is working and raising up workers among us to serve immigrants. Then second, we're going to introduce you to brothers and sisters, new brothers and sisters in Christ from the Ukraine, and we're going to hear a little bit of their faith story. And that's exciting. Third, we're going to thank God today for the provision of this building, this facility, and we're going to celebrate today that we are now debt-free. And so we're going to burn our mortgage. Yeah. I know fire's not allowed in the building, but we're going to burn our mortgage today, so you're going to want to wait for that. You know, ministry is all about people. Jesus is all about people and about calling people to himself, but facilities and programs actually support our ministry to people, so it's worth celebrating. And after we've done all that, we're going to eat together. And so if you showed up today and you smelled bacon or something that wasn't too far off from that as you walked in, you're not too far off. Peter, how's that pig looking? It's good. It's good. Awesome. I gotta apologize. So last Sunday, I stood in here up here and I said, if you want to know how a pig is roasted, come at 5 a.m. today. Do you remember me hearing me say that? Okay. Well, it was supposed to be 5, and then they changed it on me yesterday, and it was 6. So Tristan, I am so sorry, Tristan. I said it. There was a note on the barbecue roaster this morning that said, you said 5, Tristan. We are so sorry. So we're gonna have a lot of fun together eating and enjoying the fellowship of one another. And then following that, we're going to have a fairly short church family meeting. And so we're hoping that we have enough pork for everybody, and God will provide, right? He multiplied the loaves and the fishes, so he might do that today. Well, to kind of kick this party off, I want to invite Rose Tomei and Nolan, or Nolan and Emily. I'm not sure if both of you are coming up because of babies and all that kind of stuff, but would you come on up? God has been bringing many immigrants to Canada, and many have been coming to our city. About 8 years ago, Westwood Church came together and they said, we want to do something. We want to be a part of something. Let's come forward a little bit here. We want to be a part of God's rescue mission in kind of bringing people who are in need to a new land. And that resulted in Niall and Rose Tomei and a couple of other families coming from Syria, where they were challenged, obviously, in their home country. And so they've been here now about 8 years and become just a dear part of our church family. So And Rose is going to share a little bit as to how God is working in her and through her as she now serves immigrants. But before we get to that, I want to ask you this, Rose. Like, so you leave your homeland, culture, people, language, food, you leave it all. You come here and you land in a new country, a new city. Like, many of us haven't done that. Most of us haven't done that. What's that like for somebody coming to a brand new country and all of a sudden going, whoa, like, what's that like?
Yeah, the word that will come to my mind is wilderness and desert. And so it's not at all easy, like, to leave your country, leave your comfort zone, your culture, everything, and you just go to a place where, like, you have no idea what's there. So I think maybe the word wilderness and desert, it's a good definition of everything. But, you know, as God says in his word, he will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And this is what God did in our life. Yeah. He made a way for me and my family. And streams in the wasteland. Right. So I really praise him and give him glory.
Yeah. So being here now about 8 years and starting to find your roots and your foundation, God has given you a vision to begin serving people who have experienced the same thing.
Yes.
Would you share with our church family a little bit of that vision of what God has placed on your heart to serve immigrants?
Yeah, so 8 years ago, we were still in Lebanon, and then Westwood Church sponsored us, and praise God for his way, for his work. So we came to Canada, and when we came to here, right away we found the oasis. It was like an oasis to my family. We enjoyed it, everything in it. Everything was prepared, you know, everything was ready. And when we were in Lebanon, we asked God to send us to a place where we can serve him and where we can be settled. And honestly, he did it. He did it. And, you know, praise to his name. So we arrived and, you know, the apartment, everything was ready there and ready, to serve him. And then God has, after us, many Syrian refugees, families came after us. And because we were the first one, because of the language, you know, churches, other people were asking us to help. So that was a way to go and serve. And I will tell you one story, happened with us. So there was a Syrian refugee family came, and, you know, honestly, it's not just physical help, physical needs. There is emotional needs. There is spiritual needs. So that family had everything, a house, furniture, everything. But they were feeling lonely. The lady was feeling hurt or emotional, you know. So I saw her, and I told her, you know, she was sharing with me, and she had some pain, physical pain. I forgot, maybe her leg. And I told her, can I pray for you in Jesus' name? And she said, yeah, you can. And so, she doesn't know Jesus. She is from another background. Then I told her, okay. And then I prayed. I asked Jesus. And I said to her, well, Jesus is alive. You know, he will heal you. Then after I prayed, she said, wow, Rose, I felt just peace, and, you know. And I said, well, you know, continue talking to him. When you are at home, when you feel this, talk to him. So anyway, that lady, the next day, I saw her again, and she came to me, and she said, Rose, I talked to him. I said, to who? And she said, to Jesus. I said, yeah. And she said, I don't know, Rose, what happened. I was sleeping. And then there was a kind of a dream. I saw like a big gate, and that gate was like when I opened, and there was a huge, wonderful light from that gate coming. Then I had the chance with her to talk about that light. I said to her, this is Jesus, you know? He is the light of the world. And you saw it. So I shared a little bit with her, and I said, are you ready to give your life to Jesus? And she said, oh, no, not yet, Rose. I said, well, you know, keep talking to him. He's alive. And she said, yes, I will. So after a week, she came to me, and she sent me a text, Rose, I have something to say to you. I said, so what? And then she told me, Rose, I don't know if it was a dream or if it was something, but I saw myself and my boss, like I saw myself in Turkey, like where they were seeking a refugee, and my boss, my family, all my family, my parents were with me, and I was taking them to worship Jesus. On like taking them, and we were walking, and then we the evil came, and he said, okay, you know, I will take you, and he put us in a cave, and he tied our hands, our feet, and he said, because you are doing this, I will let the mice come and eat you. So he let the mice come, and while the mice were running towards them to eat them, to kill them, this lady, she said, Jesus, save us. She was crying. And then the mice turned into stones and fell on the floor, and their hands and their feet were set free. And she said, Jesus told us, okay, now go, leave. And while we were with me and my family and all the people that we have, we were walking and like looking, going to worship Jesus. And then we stopped. We saw two ways. And we stopped at the two ways. And I said, which way should I take? So that way was full of green trees, rivers. And the other one was just wilderness, desert, nothing. And she said, Jesus, which way should I go? And he pointed to the desert one. And then she said, we will go from there. And her, like the people were here, asked her, so why? We will die there. And she said, no, Jesus will rescue us and will save us. And after that, I told her, would you like to give your life to Jesus? And she said, yes, nothing is left. So she gave her life, and all her family gave their life to Jesus. So as I said, like, there is a way, and in the wilderness, and we all, you know, we can be holding the hands of the people, like all people, of course, but immigrants, newcomers, refugees, they really need your hands to be like, and the hands of Jesus, we can hold their hands and, you know, in the wilderness and walk with them towards Jesus, where they can see Jesus' love and, you know, like, so Jesus will save them.
Yeah, wow. So what Rose has been doing is been coming alongside immigrants who have come to our city and helping them with practical, just very basic kinds of needs, while at the same time being the hands and feet of Jesus, speaking truth and being available. And this is what God is calling Rose to, kind of moving forward. And so we've been quite excited as a leadership team hearing some of this story and kind of being encouraged by how other people are coming around you. Now, Nolan is up here because he's been living in the apartment ministry, what we call our apartment ministry around here, for a year and a half with Emily and Violet. And you see kind of firsthand some of the needs. So maybe describe a little bit, after having lived for a year and a half, from your vantage point, what are the needs of immigrants coming to our country?
Yeah, for sure. Just before I dive into that, I just want to kind of admonish Rose. You know, she's been faithfully coming weekly and doing multiple things at the apartments, including building deep relationships with many of the different people that are there. And something that I love about Rose is, for myself personally, I find I'm sometimes ingrained in the story of the scriptures depending on the season of life I'm in. And right now, I'm in 1 and 2 Timothy, and one of the things that Paul says to Timothy is, do the work of an evangelist. And every time I read that, I picture Rose, because she truly has this beautiful, beautiful burden to want to just share Jesus with anyone and everyone around her. So I first just want to celebrate and admonish our sister in Christ here, because she is so equipped for this role. Yeah, thank you. So obviously, I'm no expert, because there's a lot of complexity when it comes to these needs. And Emily and I, we've only been there a year and a half, and we're still building relationships. And so it takes time. But what we have noticed so far, especially on a very practical basis, is number one, the need for work. You know, we have so many people currently who come to these apartments, and some of them find work, praise be to God, and other people are just struggling to find work or even maintain work. And so this is a really key element, because there's so many people that we've had the privilege to get to know who either are stuck on EI and they're just trying to find the next job to be able to support their families, or they're working like three jobs and they are exhausted and they are in need of real rest. And so something like this ministry could be so crucial to help connect people for something as basic as work to be able to provide for their families. You know, we notice that sometimes there's actually just basic necessities that people don't have. One of the most heartbreaking things for Emily and I was one of the Iranian families that we have gotten to become friends with. They recently had people come into the country, and a couple, a husband and wife, and the wife was pregnant, and we didn't know this, but for, 3 months, babe, right? For 3 months, a little bit longer? The whole time? Okay. A long time. She has been sleeping on the ground, a pregnant woman sleeping on the ground, up until the point of actually having to go to the hospital to give birth. And so I can't imagine for those of you that have been pregnant just how troubling it already is to be able to carry the blessing of a child for 9 months, but to do that while sleeping on the ground without a bed is, I can't even imagine. So we were pretty heartbroken by that, and so felt compelled to actually give away our guest bedroom bed and give it to her, because clearly, like, she needs that. So there's people who come in here needing work, but there's also people who just need basic necessities to be able to help them out. Relationally, you know, obviously the English language is a bit of a barrier for anyone, but I think a lot of people need to know and have a space to be able to work on that English. And so Chris Levine has been doing a fantastic job week in and week out, and having Rose alongside her in this, they've been able to just practice English and have people come out. And I think they need to be made aware, people need to be made aware that there is a space to not only formally learn English, but also to just be able to practice relationally. How do we engage in this English culture? How do we be able to understand the lingo? Because English, as many of you know, is a funny language. It's full of all kinds of different things, all kinds of different nuances that for those of us born here get, but for those of us outside of the country, it can be really challenging. And so from a relational aspect, there's that piece of it, but ultimately the need for community. Tom Levine likes to joke around about how both Park Village and Pine Glen are a United Nations, which is true. We've got to meet so many different nationalities and ethnicities, but the nations are anything but united. And so what an opportunity for the church to be the family of God and be the community of God in these areas. And so a ministry like this could really be a real opportunity for the church to actually invite people into a community where right now they have lost theirs. They've had to leave theirs. And so if they can find something beautiful, something that's a refuge and something that's refreshing, that's definitely one of the other challenges that we've noticed. And lastly, when it comes to a spiritual need, and I actually find this both encouraging but also maybe slightly challenging, with a lot of the people who have been immigrating to Canada, they are religiously diverse. Very religiously diverse, who are very open to talking about faith, God, spiritual matters, much more than I think some of our Canadian neighbors are. And so when I think about the secular onlook of our current nation, and I think of the amount of immigrants coming in with their faith, you know, we can actually be kind of excited about the reality that Canada is actually looking more religiously diverse in the future than necessarily a secular version of that. But the challenge, therefore, is the need for people like Rose, who are fluent in the gospel, to be able to come alongside them and to share the light and transformation of Jesus with them. So we've had many conversations, Emily and I, as well as Rose and others, with people who have different backgrounds, who have different religious beliefs, or in some cases came from maybe a different religious affiliation, have been brutally traumatized by that political system or by that religious system where they came from, and then they come here and somehow, praise be to God, they do not lose a belief in God altogether. And so it's in those moments that I think the Oasis ministry and what Rose is spearheading to do could really come alongside people to show them the true light of Christ, as she explained in her story. So those are just some of the some of the nuanced challenges.
That is super helpful to kind of hear and to get a sense for. We're at this church family meeting we're having after lunch today. We're giving opportunities for people to kind of do a bit of question response opportunity with Rose and with some of our Westwooders here who are also a part of this ministry, kind of in behind the scenes kind of roles. And we're looking forward to that. So like what Rose has even shared and what Nolan has shared, if that's kind of spurring your interest and you want to kind of interact and engage a little further, we'd invite you to do that at our church family meeting. And so we're excited about what God is doing and the faithfulness of God and continually drawing people to himself, even the story that you shared. And even, talking about the apartments being very diverse and stuff. And it's just, it's been so encouraging actually to see how God has been bringing people from different cultures and different nations and different tribes and tongues, even in our own church family, because that's what the church is. And Jesus kind of breaks down the barriers and brings, brings people together. And so I've asked Nolan to pray for Rose and for this Oasis ministry and asking that God would guide and direct. And so would you lead us in prayer, Nolan?
Absolutely. Holy Father, thank you. Thank you so much for Rose. Thank you so much for this ministry. And thank you, Lord, for birthing this idea, Lord, this creative endeavor, Lord. You're not just the God who created, but you are creative. And Lord, you are constantly desiring to do a new thing. And so, Lord, when I think about this ministry, I just picture Hagar and her son Ishmael, who find themselves and who found themselves, Lord, separated and alone. And yet she cried out to you saying that you are the God who sees me, Lord. And you brought her out of that wilderness and into an oasis of her own. And so, Jesus, I pray, Lord, that this ministry would just be blessed by your Holy Spirit, that this could be a ministry that newcomers and immigrants could be able to declare, yes, Lord, you see me. Lord, and you have seen me through Rose and for those that you have also that you will also be bringing alongside her. And so we just pray for all kinds of provision. We pray for all kinds of power and strength. And ultimately, Lord, we pray for fellow laborers, for the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are definitely few. And so, Lord, as we continue to pray into this ministry and to see it come to fruition, Lord, we just pray for the laborers that are needed to come alongside Rose, to learn from Rose, as well as be able to help serve our fellow brothers and sisters who seek refuge and asylum here in Canada. We praise you, Jesus, and thank you that based upon your death and resurrection on the cross, that we were once foreign to you and foreign to God, and yet through what you have done, Lord, through what you have done, we are now able to boldly proclaim that we are adopted into your family. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Yeah. I invite you to spend some time chatting with Rose about this. It's pretty exciting. About 100 years ago, my grandparents fled the Ukraine. Some of you have that similar stories, again, because of war and tyranny. And 100 years later, we found ourselves kind of in a similar spot where about a year and a half ago, our church family started praying for the Ukraine and the crisis in the Ukraine and for those who were affected. And beyond just praying, our church family was challenged to actually be prepared to receive those who were fleeing. to support those who were fleeing and finding their way here to Canada and also to Prince George. And here we are, year and a half later, and our people here at Westwood have been opening up their homes to families and individuals who've needed roofs and food to eat. They've been provided with jobs as God continues to kind of move among us. And so we're excited, I'm excited to introduce a number of new brothers and sisters in Christ from the Ukraine. And so would you folks come on up and join me? Vasil, why don't you lead the crew here? And I know there's a number of our Ukrainian families who've become a part of our church family here. Would you give our brothers and sisters a warm welcome? So, yeah, come on up, find your way here somewhere. You know, maybe the smaller ones in the front so our church family can kind of see you. And I've had a chance to start to get to know these folks a little bit. And we're going to hear a little bit about the why. But I want to introduce you to Vasil. And Vasil, maybe as a way of kind of introduction, do you want to introduce maybe the families that are represented here?
I will try to do that, but I'm so sorry about my English.
I think your English is
best,
fantastic.
And I want to introduce a couple of our families who came from Ukraine. Some of us just came to Canada a couple months ago. Some of us came here to the Prince George maybe 1 year ago. And I will start introducing them. This part is the Marina with some of her children and her husband Grigory somewhere there. There he is. And they came to the Canada maybe 3 months ago, just in this January, or 5 months ago in this January. After them, we can see the families Pukinchiruda, Roman Marina, their daughter Masha Yiva, and Pasha. They came 1 year ago here in Canada. And they're the Roman's mama, Lydia. And near the Roman's mama is Galia. She also came in Canada in the end of previous summer. After them, the family of Rostik Skoblenko and his wife Arina, they also had three children. They came to the Canada in the end of the previous summer. After them, the couple Serhii and Sveta, it's my parents, they came here in the end of this January. And there is my wife Arina. We came with Arina directly to the Prince George also 1 year ago, when after the war was started in Ukraine.
Right. Well, thank you for those introductions. Did you get all those names? We're going to have a test after this. So, when you think about your homeland, the Ukraine, you know, in what ways has God shown His faithfulness to you and to your families while you were still in the Ukraine?
Yeah, and we all have a very different story in Ukraine, but we have something that united all of us. Almost all of us, we got to know the Jesus in one church in Ukraine, and that church in Ukraine is very similar than yours. And right now I'm talking not about the building, but about the people who was in that church. And our church in Ukraine also has a summer camp for children, a meet for children from non-believers' family. And almost all of us, we came to the God through this camp, and almost all of us, we was from the non-believer families. And also our church had a couple different ways to serve the people in Ukraine. And 25 years ago, our church has less than 30 members. And nowadays, it has more than 350 members in Ukraine, and we are very happy to be the part of that church.
Wow. So God's been working through these families over the years. How many of you remember about a month and a half ago when Dave Horton from Nestle Bible Camp came and spoke here? Do you remember that Sunday? So that Sunday, Vasil came up to me after that Sunday and said, it's just like what we experienced, camp. And they totally made the connection between camp ministry and how God works in people's lives. And so that Sunday actually was really, really an important Sunday for you folks.
Yes, of course, it was very important Sunday. And not just that Sunday, but when we spoke with you, but the other things, when we came here to the Canada, we was very missed about our church in Ukraine, and we start getting together in a home and pray for our country, for Ukraine, and pray for each other, and thank God for everything, for all His blessing for us. And when we don't have any room at home, we start pray to God to give us some space, some place where we can continue doing that. And God sent your church in our life. Hmm. And right now we have a blessed time in your church, especially in Monday evening. We have a service in this church. And a couple Ukrainian other families join us to blessing God. Yeah. To be thankful for God and for all people here in Canada, and that God work on our life, and He work on all needs, what we have, the smallest and biggest one, and He did everything for our family and for all people who came here in Canada from Ukraine, especially for these people who staying in this stage.
Yeah, so. So a couple of months ago, as Vasil just said, like they had a heart to continue to minister to fellow Ukrainians who don't know Jesus, and so they came to us and said, like, would you be able to, like, we want to be a part of your church family, but we also want to keep reaching our fellow brothers and sisters who've also fled from the Ukraine but who don't know English, and we could actually serve them in our native language. And we said, absolutely. And so we started kind of that process and looking at space and what we could do. And it's just been fantastic. And so Monday evenings at the youth center is full of like of folks who are worshiping in your language.
Yeah, and we did that in our Ukraine language here in your church. And it's amazing time for us, and an amazing opportunity to have the same service that we had in Ukraine. And we are very happy to have your church in our life.
Yeah, yeah. How can we pray for you? How can we pray for you?
You can do it as you want. I don't know.
Well, let me ask you one last question. So obviously the last couple of years have been pretty challenging for your families as you've made that transition from the Ukraine to here, and with the war. How has God shown His faithfulness through the difficulties, through the challenges?
Yes, it's really what the very challenging year in our lives, and each of us has a different way to Canada, and we can share our story during the lunch. And if you're very interested how we have a blessing of our life from God and how we came here to the Canada and what we have feel during all of this time, just came to us during the lunch, and we were very happy to share our story with you.
Yeah. So I would invite you to take that opportunity to connect with them. We want to pray for you folks, and we want to pray for the ministry that you're doing on Monday nights. And I've invited Keith Workentine. Keith's one of our elders, and Keith and Carrie, his wife, have been a part of this part of the world in their own lives, and you even understand some of the language. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, I went to their service a couple Mondays ago. It was amazing. So we just love these people, and we just want to pray for them. Will you join me? Heavenly Father, God, You are so faithful. And we recognize Your faithfulness in our own lives, but it's cool to hear the story of how You've been at work in bringing these families here to Canada, how You've been just helping them through such a difficult time for their country, for their families, for some of the people in that country. We pray for peace. We just ask, God, that You would bring peace to the country of Ukraine. And God, as we share fellowship with these believers, we thank You for the oneness that we have by Your Spirit, the encouragement that we have, and the joy that comes from being part of the people and family of God. And we ask that You would continue to help them as they adapt to this, to our culture and to being here with the language and all the other challenges that they experience. But God, would you bless their ministry to the Ukrainians that are coming to Prince George? And we just commit them to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And, well, actually, we're going to invite you to stand as we worship together through song.
Awesome. So just as Keith said, just as he came up, I actually was at the same Monday night service as Keith and his family, and it was really incredible, actually. It's odd because you don't understand a thing, but especially during the time of worship that they had. Most of the songs were unfamiliar to me, but the song that we're going to sing today was familiar to me, and so I chose to just sing along to it in English, and as they sing in their tongue. And so what we decided to do, just to celebrate them and celebrate what God is doing, is to do a bit of a mashup. And so we're going to have both languages on the screen. If I'm singing in English and you speak Ukrainian, feel free to sing along in your tongue, and vice versa. When they're singing in Ukrainian, those of us who speak English, I just invite you to just keep singing through. And let's just celebrate this diversity. It's really amazing. So let's sing together. The world. Come on, sing it out. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Сказати ти мій Бог, ти моя. together wonderful to me.
Amen. Well, God is good. I invite you to take a seat. So we do one more thing that involves flames.
Well, that's just a little taste of what we're going to experience in eternity with Jesus, where all tribes, all tongues, all nations will come and they will worship Jesus. Well, as I said a little bit earlier, ministry is all about people. God, you know, came to our world in the person of Jesus Christ for people, and that's what we're about. Our mission is to make disciples, but we know that he gives us all kinds of things like facilities and buildings and programs and structures to help us make disciples as effectively as possible. And God has blessed our church family richly with many of those things. I want to invite Stan Schellenberg to come. And Stan has been a Westwooder for almost the beginning, if not the beginning. And so he has kind of been a huge part of our church family, guiding us through all kinds of seasons related to structures and systems and facilities of which we now can enjoy and bless other people with, like we've just experienced. And so Stan is going to share a little bit of that story, and then we're going to burn the mortgage.
All right, I was asked to talk about the mortgage. How exciting is that, right? I must have got the short straw for some reason. Anyway, this church has been around since 1990. And when we first started building this church, we needed to find a place to get a mortgage, which we got through the Canadian Mennonite Brethren Conference. So they supply funds to churches and to pastors for building churches and homes and so on. So we were very fortunate. We had a very friendly banker. And that has helped us out a lot. So the mortgage is really one mortgage in two parts. And sometimes we feel our own personal mortgages have many more parts than that. Construction began in summer of 1990 on this facility, this worship place and the educational wing. The mortgage we took out was $800,000. And the interest rate, now hold your breath, was 10%. So that sounds pretty high compared to today even, right? And we think we got it bad. So, and we amortized it over 25 years as far as the schedule for payments, but the objective was to pay for it in 15 years. And the interest rate was reviewed annually, so we benefited from a little ups and downs. And the end of the day, we paid off that first part of our mortgage in just over 15 years. And so we accomplished that. However, before we had paid that mortgage off by a number of months, the church had decided that we really needed to expand our church. And so that decision was made to do that. So we decided to add on the youth center, learning center, room 113 for children ministry, and the office wing, which is back here. And so to get that done, we talked to the conference, and we decided rather than terminating the first mortgage, we would just redraw the money back out, and we'd save the money of registering another mortgage. And so that helped us out a lot. The estimated cost for this addition was $2.4 million. Our capital campaign target was $1.5 million, which is a lot of money for a small church, and in cash and in pledges. And we wanted our mortgage at the end of that to be less than $1 million. So we had set those as our goals. That sort of reminds me of a church, not ours, but similar perhaps, and I'm not sure this is a true story, but it makes a point, where they also wanted to add to their church, and they struggled with raising funds. And one morning the pastor got up and said to the church, "Good morning, I have some good news and some bad news for you this morning. The good news is we have enough money to do the addition and build that addition on our church. And there was lots of rejoicing. There were smiles from corner to corner at that. So we said, well, the good news is we have the money. The bad news is it's still in your pockets. So kind of made the point there. I don't know how long he was employed there. But we never used that tactic. Our capital campaign was well supported. People participated. Some people canceled vacations in order to donate the money and so on. And just as we got going in 2008, if any of you remember, there was a bit of a financial crisis around the world. People lost their jobs and so on. And that impacted some people that had made pledges. So a few needed to withdraw their pledge, which was fine. And others said, you know, we're going to just hang in there, but we'll finish our pledge as long as it takes. And they did that. So we were very grateful to that support. So if I was a pastor, I wouldn't need notes, but I need notes. So construction began on this addition here in April of 2007 with the first mortgage draw in June. So that was, we had a gap of about 3 months in there where we didn't have a mortgage payment. And we were right back into paying. So in early summer the same year, the staff moved into the office wing in the fall of 2007, and the first youth service in the youth center was in April of 2008. So in typical of a large project, you get infected by that disease called while we're at it. In other words, you know, we should really do this, we should do that. We did get infected with that as well, but we called it finishing well. It sounded better. So we did raise a bit more money from that, and we had a bit more expense, but it just made this project all that much more complete. So our bottom line was, at the end of the day, our target for construction was $2.4 million. Cost us $2,446,000 and change. So that's about a 1.9% over budget. So I would say in today's language, that we hit her dead on. Capital campaign, we had targeted 1.5. We raised $1,352,000 and change. So that's better than 90%. And that's we were so grateful for the people that donated in. And the mortgage, if you did the math, would be about $1.909 million. But we had chosen, in looking ahead, to pay the interest on the draws, on the mortgage draws as we went. And so we ended up with a mortgage of just under $1,996,000. And so we were just blessed over and over again as to what God has done. And in March of this year, we made the last payment on our mortgage. So it's paid in full, and as Pastor Rob said, we have no more debt. So as the saying goes, now you know the rest of the story.
Thank you so much, Dan. Now, I realize that church families kind of, they ebb and flow, they morph with people as life goes on, right? And so I'd be curious, who here today was here at the beginning, in 1990, when, and you've been here through that story that Stan just unfolded. If you were here, would you just stand up? Because, like, we want to say thank you for your faithfulness to this. Like, God works through his people, and we are grateful, and we trust that God's going to continue to use us, to use our church family to serve his purposes and his kingdom glory. So do we want to burn the mortgage? Okay, Jared, come on up, Jared. I got some help here today. We're gonna do something fun here, and Jared Dobson, our friend, is going to help us with this. And so how many of you have mortgages at home or in the bank or whatever? Yeah. And you'd probably like to burn them too, right? Yeah. And well, we want to do that today. So Jared, you got anything for us today while we burn?
Who wants to burn the mortgage? You want to burn it? I
can't
hear you.
Okay. Burn the mortgage, 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 burn the mortgage. Whoa, there you go. Where's Tristan or our other fellow fire people? Yo, okay, thank you, Tristan. You're moving around on us, man. Well, thank you, Stan, and thank you, Jared, and thank you, church family, and thank you, God, for just the amazing things that you're doing in us and through us. And so, who's ready to eat? Okay, all right, so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a few instructions, then we're going to pray for grace, and then we're going to dismiss you. So this is how it's going to work. Thank you to each one who kind of registered through the website and gave us a bit of a sense as to how to plan. And again, like I said, if you didn't do that, you're still more than welcome to eat with us or whatever. We're hopeful that we'll have enough food. We did plan for more than that than those registered. And so once grace has been said, what we'd like you to do is leave the sanctuary through the exit doors, and then make your way down the hallway through, I can't even remember, I think it's room 110, and you're going to go through a room the line will happen there, people will guide you, and then you're going to come back through the south entrance where the food buffet table is going to be. So then you're going to go through that buffet table, you're going to get your food, and you can find your way either into the learning center or the youth center where they're set up for tables and chairs for everyone who's come. So let's stand together and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your work in our lives. It's so good to be able to simply remember, to celebrate, to think about the things that you have done in the past and the things that you are doing currently, and just to pause and amidst all of the noise that is around us, the busyness of life, the challenges and crises that befall all of us in different ways, we're grateful that you are very much present. You're in control of this world. You're in control of our lives. And you're the leader of our church family. And so today we celebrate that and we give you thanks. May you be honored and glorified today. May our conversation and our fellowship and community around food and around these tables be just pleasant to you and just a blessing to one another. And so we are grateful today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining us. I trust that you're going to be a part of the lunch. Thanks for joining us online today. May the Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week.